be in here when we get done with that. Okay, verse 11 and verse 12. Verse 11 and verse 12. For he shall give his angels charge over you to keep you in all your ways. In their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone. Let's read it again. For he, that's Father God, shall give his angels charge over you to keep you in all your ways. In their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we just praise you and thank you and worship you, magnify your name, give you glory. We stand in awe of you, Lord. How such a magnificent God can love like you do, and even love us, is a mystery. But you do. And you have a plan for us. And you empower us to do your work in this world, at this time, in this place. Lord, we are talking about praise and worship. That's praising you and worshiping you. Continue to teach us today, Lord. Let us hear what's on your heart. Let each one of us get a nugget to take home. You're awesome, Lord. Jesus, you have the name that's above all names. Anything we need, you're the source, Jesus. Call on you. Holy Spirit, use me. Speak through me. And give us a great time here this morning in you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. He's not here yet. Well, I want to continue our message on praise and worship. I want to take the opportunity this morning to share about angels. Angels. What exactly is the function of angels? How does God use these spiritual beings? And what's their purpose? Angels don't hang out in libraries or stand on top of skyscrapers. I've never seen them at the beach. They must have a significant purpose because God created them. Amen? So what's an angel's job description? Anybody? Messenger. That's good. Hallelujah. Brother Ray, we've been waiting for you. I want you to stand. When's your birthday? Today?
I'm 30. I've just been under a lot of stress.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Ray. Happy birthday to you. And many more. Not so much stress. Psalm 148 and verse 2 says, praise him, all his angels. Amen. Praise him, all his angels. Praise him, all his hosts. In Hebrews 1, verse 6, it says, but when he again brings the firstborn, Jesus, into the world, he says, let all the angels of God worship him. It is clear to see from these two passages that the angels offer praise and worship, amen, to God. Praise and worship. And folks, I would suppose that in the realm of heaven, that praise will not be quiet, but rather thunderous. So you and I should not only get accustomed to it, but also practice some boisterous praise. Amen? Amen? You and I were created for the same reason the angels were created, to praise God, to worship God. In Isaiah 43:21, it says this, the people I've formed for myself, capital M, that they may proclaim my praise. We'll get back to that subject in a few minutes. But I want to consider what else angels do. Angels are also called messengers in numerous Bible verses throughout the Bible. But what are the messages they deliver? And what task do they do on their own? What's their to-do list? Amen? We usually think of angels as agents of grace and mercy, coming in peace, and all that's true, but it's not only the part of the story. There's much more to it. Oftentimes in scriptures, they are agents of judgment. In Hebrews chapter 1, verse 7, it says, and the angels, he says, who makes his angels spirits and his ministers a flame of fire, and fire is equal to judgment in the Word. Now, listen, folks. Angels are not white, fluffy beings floating on a cloud, but rather messengers to execute God's thoughts and judgment. In Genesis 19, Sodom and Gomorrah were wicked before God. Ultimately, he sent angels to warn them of the coming judgment. God also intended for the angels to deliver just brother Lot. He wanted Lot and his family out of the city before judgment fell. In 2 Kings 19 and also 2 Chronicles 32 tell the judgment of Sennacherib. It took one night and one angel to kill 185,000 Assyrian soldiers, and I have no doubt that he was home for breakfast. In 2 Samuel 24, David had sinned against God by numbering the people. David's decision to take a census was in direct disobedience to God. Therefore, David was to be punished. But God gave him the choice of punishment. In that chapter, verse 10 through 13, the choices are listed. The choices David could make are listed. In verse 14, David asked God to choose. You choose. You choose, God. And in verse 15 and 16, 70,000 Israelites were killed by an angel acting as an agent of judgment. Whew. Powerful beings. In Acts chapter 12, 21 through 23, it says, so on a set day, Herod, arrayed in royal apparel, sat on his throne and gave an oration to them. And the people kept shouting, the voice of a god and not of a man. Then immediately an angel of the Lord struck him because he did not give glory to God. And he was eaten by worms and died. Herod sits on the throne, decked out in his royal array, ready to address the people. He was an eloquent speaker, And as the people listened attentively, they began to worship Herod. Now, Herod could have chosen to put a stop to their adoration, but he instead allowed it to continue, and most likely he was enjoying it, enjoying the praise. Joshua in the Old Testament and Peter in the New Testament both rejected personal worship, but Herod permitted it, resulting in an angel being sent to smite him. The moral of that verse is, give God the glory or get the worms. Amen? When someone praises you over an accomplishment, when someone praises you after singing a special, making a meal, teaching, whatever you do, give God the glory. Give God the glory, folks. Because praise is like perfume. You can sniff it for a little while, but don't inhale it, and definitely don't swallow it. Maybe God has blessed you with finances, or a real nice home, or lovely things. Again, give God the glory. Give Him the glory. He is the one deserving it. Amen? He's the one. We praise Him. So angels brought Old Testament judgment. They brought New Testament judgment. And they will also bring future judgment. Revelation chapter 7, verse 1 and 2. After these things, I saw four angels standing at four corners of the earth, holding the four winds of the earth, that the wind should not blow on the earth, on the sea, or on any tree. Then I saw another angel ascending from the east, having the seal of the living God. And he cried with a loud voice to the four angels to whom it was granted to harm the earth and the sea. And then Revelation chapter 8, verse 5 and 7. The angel took the censer, filled it with fire from the altar, and threw it to the earth. And there were noises, thunderings, lightnings, and an earthquake. So the seven angels who had the seven trumpets prepared themselves to sound. The first angel sounded, and hail and fire followed, mingled with blood, and they were thrown to the earth. And a third of the trees were burned up, and all green grass was burned up. Remember, folks, there were six more angels ready to blow the trumpets. In Revelation 9:15, so the four angels who had been prepared for the hour and day and month and year were released to kill one-third of mankind. After the rapture of the church, one-third of the population of this planet will be wiped out by angels. That's well over 2 billion people. What about Satan's end? An angel of God binds him and throws him into the pit. Never forget, folks, Satan is an angel, a fallen angel. Don't ever make this mistake of thinking Satan is equal to God. He's simply not. He's a created being, and he's a fallen angel. He's not omnipotent, he's not omniscient, and he's not omnipresent. Satan has power, but he's not all-powerful. Satan is incredibly intelligent, but he's not all wise. He's fast, but he can only be one place at a time. So angels are agents of judgment, and yet we, the body of Christ, are so special. Listen to this. We are so special that one day we will judge the angels. 1 Corinthians 6, 1 through 3. Dare any of you, having a matter against another, go to law before the unrighteous and not before the saints? Do you not know that the saints will judge the world? And if the world be judged by you, are you unworthy to judge the smallest matters? Do you not know that we shall judge angels? How much more things that pertain to this life? If you study Jesus, you'll see the angels from beginning to end. They announced his coming to the Virgin Mary in Luke chapter 1. And to Joseph separately, after Mary told him that she was pregnant. Angels took the couple into Egypt when they had to flee there. They told the shepherds about the birth of the Savior. We see them ministering to Jesus after his temptation in the wilderness. Then in the Garden of Gethsemane in Luke chapter 22, it tells us that Jesus was in agony. He was hemorrhaging in anticipation of the cross, and the angels ministered to him. The angels ministered to him. Father God sent these heavenly angels to announce, to protect, and strengthen the Lord. When he was on the cross, 12 legions of angels were waiting in the wings for Jesus to say the word if he wanted to be rescued. But it was his love for us that held that Savior to the cross. Not the nails, not the soldiers. Then at the tomb, it was an angel who rolled the stone away in defiance of the entire Roman Empire. The power of that event threw the soldier backwards, and it looked like they were dead. Then the angel sat on that big stone, proclaiming the awesome message found in Luke 24, 6. It says, he is not here, he has risen.
Hallelujah.
Not here, he has risen. Amen? Amen. The angels were present at the ascension of Jesus in Acts chapter 1. And they asked the disciples, why are you standing here gazing? He went into heaven. Do you realize that a multitude of angels will accompany Jesus when he returns to earth again? Matthew 25, verse 31. When the Son of Man comes to his glory and all the holy angels with him, then he will sit on the throne of his glory. Angels were always present with Jesus during his earthly life. And they kept their eyes on him, diligently followed their heavenly orders. No matter who betrayed, denied, or falsely accused Jesus, the angels were poised and ready to defend him. If the heavenly throng of angels kept their eyes focused on Jesus, how much more so should we? And just like they did for Jesus, God has given the angels charge to watch over you and me. For he shall give his angels charge over you to keep you in all your ways. That's Psalm 91, verse 11. It is so interesting to discuss the activity of the angels in relationship to men, but let's return to our main theme, which is to understand how the angels minister in heaven. How they minister. In Psalm 148, verse 2, it says, praise him, all his angels. Praise him, all his hosts. Please understand, angels do not float on clouds all day, and they have no bows to act like Cupid to shoot arrows into the hearts of people. They don't play harps, and they don't play outfield like the baseball movie suggested. Amen? And I must say this, when people die, they do not go up to heaven to become angels. We are blessed to enjoy a designated place with God that is higher than that of angels. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So again, what is the angel's heavenly job? Simple. Real simple. To offer praise and worship unto God. Amen. To offer praise and worship unto God. In Hebrews chapter 1, verse 6 in the NIV, it says, "And again, when God brings his firstborn into the world, he says, let all the angels worship him." Now, I want to take a peek into heaven, and I want to act like a fly on the wall of the great throne room. Amen? In Revelation 5, verse 11 and 12, it says, "Then I looked, and I heard the voice of many angels around the throne, the living creatures and the elders. And the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000, and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, 'Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing.'" Hallelujah! In Revelation 7, verse 11 and 12, it says, "And all the angels stood around the throne and the elders and the four living creatures and fell on their faces before the throne and worshiped God, saying, 'Amen, blessing and glory and wisdom, thanksgiving and honor and power and might be to our God forever and ever. Amen.'" Can you picture it? As I've already mentioned, it appears heaven will be a boisterous place. So you and I might as well get used to it. We were created for the same purpose as the angels. It is our high calling to praise and worship, honor and glorify Almighty God. I want to say that again. It is our high calling to praise and worship, honor and glorify Almighty God. Now, I want to ask how many of you prayed to the Lord this week? Okay. How many came to church today to praise and worship God? Okay. How many of you praised God this week? Well, you guys are good. Would it surprise you to know that maybe some of you are still living in the Old Testament? If you think that you have to go to church to praise, or that you should praise and worship God only in the church, you're living in the Old Testament. Amen. And God's presence was only manifested in a specific locale in the Old Testament. In the New Testament, God doesn't dwell in buildings made with hands, but in the bodies of believers. Amen? 1 Corinthians 6, 19 and 20. "Or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own? For you were bought at a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's." Now, please don't be offended, but this isn't God's house. This isn't God's house, even though we use that phrase often. I used it earlier today. We tell the kids not to run in God's house. We say to each other, "It's good to be in the Lord's house today." Amen? We often ask folks to quiet down. This is God's house. But really, this is only the building in which God's houses come together on a regular basis. Let's consider this thought. This room in which we are gathered is technically not a sanctuary. We would love to believe that this is the Holy of Holies, where God's presence resides. However, this room is actually the auditorium where the individual sanctuaries come together. Amen? Y'all remember the song? Lord, prepare me to be a sanctuary, pure and holy, tried and true. With thanksgiving, I'll be a living sanctuary for you. Well, I blessed you this morning. Brothers and sisters, worship is not something we do two times a week. 24/7. 365. Worship is not just closing your eyes or raising your hands or repeating some song over and over again. It's focusing on God. It's walking thankfully. It's talking to Him continually. It's yielding to the Holy Spirit and receiving the anointing to sincerely worship. Worship is not something we do with our mouths as much as with our lives. It's giving all that I am in response to all that He is. Amen? It's sad to say that many people come to church only three times in their lives. When they're born, dedicated. When they get married, making some kind of commitment, and when they die, a funeral. Preachers put it this way: they come to be hatched, matched, and dispatched. Hatched, matched, and dispatched. The first time we throw water at them, the second time we throw rice at them, and the third time we throw dirt at them. Brothers and sisters, worship, praise and worship, is vital if we hope to experience the anointing power of God. So how much time do you spend worshiping God? Imagine you lived in Old Testament times about 4,000 years ago. Imagine you're not a believer, but perhaps a Moabite, not one of the Israelites. That means you're a pagan, a person without God. You watch the Jews go in their temple to worship, and you wonder all about it. So you ask an Israelite how they worship. His answer included a description of the tabernacle, explaining the outer court, the holy place, and the Holy of Holies. You say, I want to go in there and see God. The Jew replies, no, you can't. You can't. You're not an Israelite. What would I have to do? You'd have to believe and become a convert. Your response, if I became a convert, then I'd go in there. I'd get as close to God as I could. No, you wouldn't. Only if you were in the house of Levi, the priestly tribe. You say, well, I'll join the tribe of Levi, become a priest, and not only go into the holy place, but into the Holy of Holies. No, you won't. Only the high priest is allowed in there. You declare, well, then I'd become a high priest so I could go in there every day. No, you wouldn't. Only once a year. Do you see the Old Testament concept of worship? Consider the privilege we have to be able to draw nigh to God and the opportunity we have to come into His holy presence. Amen. It is no longer difficult for us to approach Him. He actually invites us to come, to draw near. And let me give you some good news. You remember us talking about the Holy of Holies last week? I've been there. I spent time there this morning, finalizing this message. I've also been there off and on throughout the week. Because when Jesus died on the cross, my high priest, He tore the veil in half, giving us unlimited access to the Holy of Holies. That's why the Bible says, let us come boldly. Us come boldly before the throne of grace. Not only the Jews, not only the Levite priest, not only the high priest, not just once a year, not fearfully, but to boldly enter into the presence of God. As we declare the name of Jesus and gain authority through His blood, we enter into His presence, offering Him our praise and worship. Saints, we can rejoice at the privilege of entering the Holy of Holies to commune with God and offer Him our worship. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Now, I want to use an illustration to help describe our personal worship. A woman atop a burning building cries for help. A fireman comes to her rescue and carries her down his ladder. Days later, she decides to go to the firehouse and thank him personally. The woman notices how handsome he is. He's handsome. And oh, he's so kind and gentle and humorous. So she tells him how he makes her feel. And they begin dating and fall in love. When this lady was crying from the rooftop, we can identify that as prayer. Most of us do this every day, especially when we are in real danger or trouble. We often do a lot of crying out to God for help. But we must also add to our prayers some thanksgiving, taking time to be grateful for what God has done. We are aware of the woman's thankfulness as she goes out of her way to the firehouse. You see, she went to the next level of her relationship by thanking Him. Do we thank Jesus for our salvation? Do we thank Him for our wonderful family? Do we thank Him for good health, our job, our nation, our freedom, a great-looking pastor? Once the woman met the fireman, she began admiring him. She telling him how special he was. That's what we call adoration. Adoration brings people into a much deeper level of relationship. Adoration is when the believer is grateful to God, not only for what He does, but for who He is. Adoration is thanking God for His character. Adoration is honoring our Lord for His long-suffering, mercy, kindness, grace, and love. Finally, the woman and the man were married. She gave all that she was to all that he was. They ultimately entered into this very close, intimate relationship. And saints, that's worship. Why were the angels created? To give God praise and worship, and the same is true for us. Let me take a moment to remind you of a well-known fact. Man takes on the character of whatever he worships. Man takes on the character of whatever he worships. Some people's eyes become glassy, just like the TV they're watching. Some become a walk-in fashion show, just like the newest styles they worship. Some become hoarders because they worship their possessions. Some attempt to become just like the singer or the Hollywood actor that they worship. We can become worshipers of self, other people, possessions, position. We can worship almost anything. Almost. But that is idol worship. Idol worship. First the man molds the idol, and then the idol molds the man. First the man molds the idol, and then the idol molds the man. Why did God create us to worship Him? Is God an egotist? Does He need His ego stroked? Why is God so desirous of our praise? Must He always insist on being told how great He is? Brother and sister, I want to get this straight. Our praise doesn't make God any more glorious than our offerings make Him richer. Let me say that again. Our praise doesn't make God any more glorious than our offerings make Him rich. We don't give our praise because God needs it, but we give our praise because we need it. We need it. We need what it does in us. Listen, folks, when we spend time in the presence of God, worshiping Him, we take on His character, we begin to look more like Him, and we begin to act more like Him. We will inevitably love Him more, trust Him more, and depend on Him more. Isn't it time to honor your Creator, the one who made all, is over all, and in all? The righteous one who purchased our salvation and offers us an eternal home in heaven? The one whose hand is extended and whose ear hears our cries? The Deliverer, the High Tower, the Defender, the Lover of our soul and the Lifter of our head, the Alpha and Omega, the Beginning and the End, the Great Physician, the Hope of all nations, the Peace Speaker, the Peace Giver, the only Triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, the Omnipotent, Omniscient, all-knowing, all-wise God, the Lamb of God, the King of kings and the Lord of lords, the one who was and is to come. Doesn't it make sense to worship Him? Amen. 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 So I want you to stand up and shout. Come on. I want you to stand up and shout, and I want you to give God glory in the house this morning. Amen. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! Oh, thank you, Jesus! Thank you, Jesus! Thank you, Jesus! We're going to worship the Lord a little bit, amen? Joy, turn that on. Thank you, Jesus. Turn it up loud, Joy.
Never failing, let mercy fall on me. Everyone needs forgiveness, the kindness of a Savior, the hope of nations. So Savior, Savior, He can move the mountains. My God is mighty to save, He is mighty to save. Forever, author of salvation, He rose and conquered the grave. Jesus conquered the grave. Find me with all my fears and failures. Lord, fill my life again. I give my life to follow everything I believe in. So now I surrender. Oh, we surrender. Savior, He can move the mountains. My God is mighty to save. He is mighty to save. Forever, author of salvation, He rose and conquered the grave. Jesus conquered the grave. Shine your light and let the whole world see. We're singing for the glory of the risen King. Oh Jesus, shine light and let the whole world see. We're singing for the glory of the risen King. Savior, He can move the mountains. My God is mighty to save. He is mighty to save. Forever, author of salvation, He rose and conquered the grave. Jesus conquered the grave. We sing, Savior, He can move the mountains. My God is mighty to save. He is mighty to save. Forever, author of salvation, He rose and conquered the grave. Jesus conquered the grave. Shine your light and let the whole world see. We're singing for the glory of the risen King. Oh Jesus, shine your light and let the whole world see. We're singing for the glory of the risen King. Oh Jesus, shine your light and let the whole world see. We're singing for the glory of the risen King. Oh Jesus, shine your light and let the whole world see. We're singing for the glory of the risen King. We sing, Savior, He can move the mountains. My God is mighty to save. He is mighty to save. Forever, author of salvation, He rose and conquered the grave. Jesus conquered the grave. He rose and conquered the grave. Jesus conquered the grave.
Oh, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Jesus.
The splendor of the King, clothed in majesty, let all the earth rejoice, all the earth rejoice. He wraps himself in light, and darkness tries to hide. Trembles at his voice, how great is our God, sing with me, how great is our God, and all will see how great
I'm ready. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Two things, folks. Somebody here has pain in their neck. And somebody here has to make a decision tomorrow. And they don't know what that's going to be. Come on. Come on up here. Let me pray for you. Come on, folks. I know the voice of God. Don't be nervous. I take a step of faith. You take a step of faith. And it works. Amen. Lord, so often we need your wisdom. So often we need your leadership.